Hey. So God responds when he tells us stuff, doesn't he? That's awesome. Thank you. And you know, that's things that we, that happens here on Sunday, it's not exclusive to here on Sunday. This is just a demonstration of what should be going on out there all the time. And so I encourage you to be free to share and listen, because God's faithful and he'll show up. We had, as you know, an awesome speaker on Sunday night or Friday night at Friday Night Center with Bishop Joey Johnson. If you did not get to hear that message, I would encourage you to listen to that message, especially if you have been here for more than 5 years. You need to listen to that message. And back in the back there, there's a little sheet, study sheet that Pastor Joey or Apostle Joey shared with. But it was an awesome, awesome message. Today we're going to share. We're going to start off, and I'm just going to just sow a few little things here about why forgive. And I know all of us probably have faced a challenge in our life that it's like, I can't do it. You ever had something that you just realize that no matter how confident you are, you know, my parents raised, you know, I was raised that you could do about anything. But realize once you go in life, there's things you just can't do it. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to play for the NBA. That's just all there is to it. Even though when I was 8 or 9, I was playing for the NBA all the time. But you know, there's things that happen that the bar is just set too high, that we're not going to make it. You know, in the book of Matthew in the New Testament, it's probably the longest sermon recorded in the New Testament that Jesus shared. Jesus begins sharing a message, and he's putting the bar pretty high. He's starting to share some stuff that, you know, this is different. You know, this is not the same old that they were used to. I mean, hey, we can do this, you know, back in there. Yeah, we can wash our hands, we can go to church, you know, we can, you know, do a few things. But Jesus started to set the bar pretty high. You know, here's some of the things he said. You know, he says, hey, if somebody starts to give you a hard time and says false things about you and persecute you for my name, he goes, rejoice in that. Be happy about that. See, that's different. I mean, that's different than before. He says, you know what? He says, unless your righteousness or your goodness surpasses that of the Pharisees, he says, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. It's like, wait a minute. Pharisees is like the Pope and the priest and all that. I mean, this is like, whoa, you know, the Pharisee back then, actually, they observed the purity laws. They were probably considered the experts and most accurate as far as the Jewish laws and tradition. And he said, your righteousness, you got to be better than them. It's like, whoa, you know, this is getting serious here. I mean, this is just like, you know, and then he starts saying stuff like, you know what? Whoever is angry with his brother or sister is subject to judgment. And anyone who says to his brother or sister, Raca, which means you don't have a brain, as basically said, you're empty-headed, is what that, then your answer to the court, anyone who says you fool is in danger of the fire of hell. It's like, whoa. I mean, now we're really pushing the bar. We're really pushing the standard up. And then he goes on. I mean, it's not like he stopped there. He goes on and he says, you know what? He goes, don't resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other. He says, if someone forces you to go a mile, go two. Pray for your enemies. Love them. Pray for those who persecute you. And then after all that, the icing on the cake, he says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Is that bar pretty high? You know, is that he's saying, you know, I mean, I would think, I'm out of here. You know, it's like, I can't do this. You know, Christianity is not a club. You don't get a membership. It's like, hey, I want to be a Christian so I can be part of the club. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm part of the Christian life. I'm a part of it. That's not a fit. If you think Christianity is being a club member, then you miss what Christianity is about. You know, it's about the fact of having a relationship with God. And it's not just the fact that I got my membership card and good, I'm good. It's the fact that your life is changed and it continues to change over and over and over. Even when we die, we go to heaven, there's a transformation. The Bible says that we're taken from glory to glory. This is God's heart for us. It's not, he loves us so much, he doesn't want you to stay the same. Because he knows what's out there. He knows the good things. It's like telling you, it's like a kindergartner locking them up in a room. Say, no, don't go out in life. There's nothing out there. I mean, there's life. We want them to grow. We want our children and to grow and experience all the good things in life. That's what God has. He has that for us. You know, and the thing is realizing in all that Jesus is saying, it's like, you know, the reality is we need help. We can't do this, God. I can't get over that bar by myself. I'm going to have you throw me or something. You know, I can't do it. And then, you know, then that's not all the things he said. He had, there's a section in there that he throws his stuff. And the thing is that this is repeated several times throughout the New Testament. It's not like he just said it in the book of Matthew. He says this over and over and over again. And Apostle Paul, in his letters, carries that same message and begins to echo that same heart because it's not just men or not just somebody. This is the Holy Spirit. This is the heart of God saying this. And this is something he says. He says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, just a clarification. This is not a salvation verse. You are not saved because you forgive somebody. You're saved because you believe in Jesus Christ. And you believe in his righteousness. You trust. Because if this is a salvation verse, then our salvation is based on works. It's based on what you do, but it's not. But there's something that goes beyond just getting into heaven. There's a life that God has for us, that he wants to have for us. The word debt here means that you owe something. How many ever had a debt with God? All of us do. Because the Bible says all have sinned. We all owe God for our sin. But he paid that price for us through his son, Jesus Christ. But he still says this. Forgive, the word forgive actually means to send away, to set free or let alone. That means that when God forgives us, he doesn't come back every other day and goes, hey, remember? Remember that sin that you did? That's not God. He leaves us alone. He stops. He doesn't nag us about that sin. It doesn't nag us about our life. Except the thing with this is there's a conditional word in there, the word as. He says, forgive us our debt. As. So really it puts the responsibility on me, not you, to walk in this. And then he goes on, he says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. That's a pretty heavy word, isn't it? That's a lot of responsibility. It's like, God, you know, what do we do with this? It's like, whoa, you know, you just put the bar way up there. Basically, the word sin here means a false step to blunder or stumble. How many ever made a false step, a blunder, or stumbled? You know, all of us have done that. But, you know, when we're looking at that with other people, and we see other people, and they made a false step or a blunder, are stumbled in our perspective or toward our life. Now, you know, sin, this could be something really heavy. I mean, it could be really bad. I mean, things happen in life and people do bad things and mean things. And I pray, I just marvel at God when I look at things and says, God, you know, what? Who are you that you have so much mercy on us, that you put up with this stuff? That you put up, it just boggles my mind, you know, that God continually that puts up with this. But, you know, some of it, we could have unforgiveness because somebody painted a room a color you didn't like, you know, or wore the same dress you did, you know, or cheered for a different team that you don't like, you know. I mean, really, really, we can harbor unforgiveness in those minor things. And there's the major things. There's the outright, really, somebody sinned against you. That just happens. But why would God say such a thing? How does unforgiveness affect our life? Well, unforgiveness affects your spirit, your soul, and your body. Dr. Carol Peters said, holding a grudge is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. It's toxic to us. You know, over and over again, it's been proven that unforgiveness affects us physically. It affects, it gives high blood pressure, it affects your cholesterol levels, it affects your immune system, it can give you pain, you know, in your body. And then a professor, Rocks, his name, from Concordia University, he said that the data that negative mental states cause heart problems is just stupendous. The data is just as established as the same data from smoking, and the size of the effect is just the same. So carrying unforgiveness affects us in a mighty, mighty way. You know, and another doctor, and I don't want to get into all the medical things, but he said there's proteins, there's things that happen in our body that stir this all this up. Dr. Charles Stanley, I don't know if you guys heard of him before, it's Andy Stanley's dad. He says one of the most dangerous things a person can do is hold on to resentment. Clinging to unforgiveness has far-reaching and unexpected consequences. Although bitterness takes root in the mind, it doesn't stay contained just there. It can spread into every aspect of a person's life. It says, for example, the hostility a man feels toward his father can color his relationship with his wife, his willingness to perform at work, and his involvement in church. You know, there's times we have forgiveness and we can feel like this. And we have that. And I'm going to ask Mitch. Where's Mitch? Mitch is going to come up. And we're going to just a little illustration of how unforgiveness can affect you. And you know, if we look at unforgiveness as something like, this is actually what happens when you walk around in unforgiveness. You walk around, your whole perspective. Now, he can still see, but his whole perspective of life has changed. And the more he does that, if he continues, you know, there's one thing when you walk in unforgiveness, typically you open yourself up to walk even more unforgiveness because of the unhealthiness of your heart. And it can just start layering. And more it layers, the more your vision of life and how you see things is going to be blurred. And you're not going to see in a healthy way. But we have hope in God. Okay. Thank you, Mitch. Dr. Stanley says, unforgiveness can affect, and it does affect, your prayer life. It affects your worship. And affects your witness unto God. You know, there's a difference between unforgiveness and grief or disappointment. You know, sometimes we get here, but you know, you could have unforgiveness to somebody who died. That you're blaming. Why'd you do that? Why'd you leave me like this? You know, and there's just so many things as we see that unforgiveness can happen. You know, there's another doctor, Mark Seichel, who's a psychotherapist, said that the moment you start to resent a person, you become their slave. They control your dreams. They control your digestion. They rob you of your peace of mind and goodwill and take away the pleasure of your work. You cannot take a vacation without them. They're with you when you're awake and invade your privacy when you're asleep. When you drive your car, when you're on the job, there they are, they're right with you. They may require you to take medicine for your headaches, for your loss of energy. So if you want to be a slave, harbor resentment. Katie Nehemiah, would you like to come on up? You know, having resentment, you guys come up on the platform here. Having resentment is like being bound to someone else. You know, and even though Nehemiah wants to walk around free of life, he's dragging Katie around because of resentment, or vice versa. Nehemiah might want to go on vacation, or go to a basketball game, but then there's Katie. And he has this resentment. And so that is what it's like to walk in unforgiveness. You could go all the way to China, and they're going to be right there with you. And they got there free. You had to pay to get there. They got there free. Thank you, guys. And you know, that's the other thing with unforgiveness. Unforgiveness makes a mess in other people's lives too. You know, the Bible says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. One of the tools the devil uses to steal, kill, and destroy is unforgiveness. Faster than anything, he can rob you of your joy, your peace, all that. But Jesus came so that you can be able, that you can do that as, in that statement, that we can forgive our debtors as, or that God will forgive us as, you can do that with the help of Jesus Christ. It's important to remember, you have an enemy. And they're not the ones standing beside you. You know, it's not somebody in this room. You have an enemy that's out to sow in unforgiveness into your heart, just like that. You know, have you ever taken a dandelion and blew it and blown on it, and all those little seeds fly all over? The girls used to do that all the time, drive me crazy. I think, I'm trying to kill the weeds, and you're trying to spread the weeds, you know, all over. But that's what it's like. Excuse me. It's like a bunch of dandelion weeds just flying all over, seeds that's ready to plant into our life. The Bible says that the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. They have power to demolish strongholds. It says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You know, forgiving someone means giving up resentment and the right to get even with them. It's not our responsibility to get even with them. It's one of the reasons God says this, that he wants us. You know, and they've shown that all these physical things that can happen can be reversed with forgiveness. Lois and I were at a marriage training seminar years and years ago, and one of the, excuse me a second. One of the homework assignments that night was to go and write out everything, everybody that you don't have forgiveness or that you need to forgive. So we got back here the next day, and they asked for testimonies. This lady raised her hand. She goes, I have a testimony. She goes, last night, this lady was probably, I'm going to say probably in her late 40s, maybe early 50. She said, last night I was doing that. And she goes, and God, I started realizing I just had all this unforgiveness. She goes, it took hours for me to do that project. And she goes, but this is what happened. I did all that, and at the end, she goes, for years, I have had chronic pain and kidney pain in my back. For years, it's just suffered with this. And all the time, it's just there. She goes, the moment I wrote down that last word, just like that, she goes, it left. So there's something related to this. And I'm not saying every symptom you get physically is because you have some unforgiveness. I'm not saying that, you know, but I am saying that it can affect you, you know, in that way to have that. And so we have, though, by the grace we have in Christ Jesus, I'm going to ask our worship team to come on up. What the plan is this is just an introduction of saying we need to deal with this. The next couple weeks, what we're going to talk about is how you can build a life. You know, I'm using this illustration because it's my life. Part of it is dealing with your yard and weeds. Because you know, if you don't, weeds are pretty healthy. They can come just like that, boom. You know, whereas some of these other things we got to cultivate. Well, you know, there's two things you can put on your yard to deal with weeds. There's a pre-emergent and emergent. The pre-emergent is to prevent it from happening. I believe the next week or so, we're going to talk about how you can have pre-emergent, in other words, build a lifestyle that you're not so readily going to take an offense of people. You know, you can build a lifestyle that you can be offended just like that. I've watched it. You know, people, you just everybody, you just want, you're angry with them or something. The other thing is also learning how to forgive in a healthy way. What is forgiveness and what is not? You know, forgiveness doesn't mean that I'm saying that what you did was right. That's not saying that at all. It's saying that what you did, I'm not going to let you continue to control my life, what you did, and I'm releasing that. It doesn't mean I got to be your best friend. You know, there's a lot of things we're going to talk about with that. But I'm going to ask you to stand,
And excuse me. You know, one of the things that Sunday night or Friday night that Bishop Joey said, he said he believes that this is a time that there's a time we have to end and say, that's enough. You know, and you know, unforgiveness can almost be an addiction. Well, we just like, we thrive on it. And I'm not going to get out, I mean, it talks about all the stuff that happens. But we have to say, enough. It's enough. I'm not going to let this control my life anymore. Now, it's a battle. You know, some things it's easy to do. But unforgiveness sometimes, it's a battle. It's a warring battle. And you have to pray through. But God gives you the ability to do it. It's not, just as we said, it's not all up to me. Thank God. There's Christ in me helps me to forgive, helps me to release that. And so I'm going to ask, we're going to welcome the Holy Spirit. And if there's things in your life you said, God, I just need to release this today. I'm just going to welcome you by the grace of God and by the Holy Spirit to release it to Him. And you know, and when you do that, you might think, well, I don't really know, my emotions, just welcome the Holy Spirit to help you. Step by step. You're only asked to take one step at a time. So Holy Spirit, we just welcome you this day. And if there's things in your life, you don't need to wave your hand, go, hey, that's me. You know, you just say, you can just, you privately to the Lord, just you and Him saying, God, I just need to release this. There's resentment. I just need to release this to you. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you to help us be a forgiving people. Help us, God, Lord, that we may not be like the world who walks around in resentment and unforgiveness, Lord. But Lord, you called us to be a light to the world. Lord, help us as part of our life to know how to forgive, to know walk in that freedom of forgiveness, even when things have been wronged toward us and they should have never happened, God. Lord, that we can walk above those by your grace, by your Holy Spirit, that we're not chained to them for our life, God. We're not made prisoners of those things, God. But Lord, you came and set us free. Set us free from our own sin, but set us free not to be controlled by the sins of others, God. And we welcome that, Father, this day. We welcome your blessing in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask our personal ministry team to come up. These ones will be available here to pray with you about anything you want. You never made that first commitment like Tim shared. You know, maybe you're one of those ones today who said, I need to just go forward and make a fresh commitment to God. You know, well, these ones can pray with you. They've been trained. I encourage you. Maybe there's somebody you know that's dealing with unforgiveness. Invite them next week. Invite them to come because we're really believing for release and transformation in life. God wants us to be free. God bless you. Justin's going to lead us in a closing song. So thank you for being with us today.
I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. Father, we just thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. Father, we just thank you, Father, for the grace that you give us, Father, the strength that you give us, Father, to be able to forgive others, Father. I just ask, Father, that those things that are weighing us down, Father, we just surrender them to you, Father, because we want to know you more, Father, ultimately. So, Father, I just ask that, Father, that you'd be with us this week, Father, in everything that we do and everywhere we go, Father, that we would be reminded constantly that you're there with us, giving us strength to be a light for you. So, Father, we just thank you for today, and Father, we just pray, Lord, that you just be with us in all that we do this week. In Jesus' name, amen.